Hey everybody, welcome back to You're Wrong. With me, as always, I have Luciano.
Hi, hello, hello, hello.
I have who I believe is Chris from Whitby.
That is I. Just leave my government out of this, please. Yeah,
well, it's out there now, that one time. Last episode, whoops. And Spencer.
Hey, yo, yo, yo.
I brought the energy, because you guys have not.
We're going to ramp. It's like we got to ramp up to you. You can't just come in hot. You got to, like, you know.
Nope. I come in hot. I come in hot and I get hotter.
Okay.
Like the ghost pepper.
Yeah. Great.
I'm glad this didn't go off the rails immediately.
No. We're all really happy about the ghost pepper reference.
I'm trying.
Yeah. Well, let's get started. This is going to be a bit of a new format for us. We're going to go over some news that happened in the month of July. So all these topics happened in July at some time or another, and we're just going to kick right into it. So I hope you all enjoy our punditry. Is not, that's too nice. Idiocy, that's probably more accurate.
Yeah, and more accurate.
Yeah. I think that's why I said it's more accurate.
No, it's more accurate, I said.
Yeah, that's what I said. Thanks for listening.
Sure.
Who's on first?
Oh, my God. Okay. Worst podcast ever.
Matt, what did Luciano say?
He said more accurate.
Yeah. Okay.
What's the name of this this monthly recap?
Oh.
The monthly wrong up.
We should call it Shots Fired.
Well, that's every episode.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Anyway, Matt, do you have news for us?
Yeah, the first piece of news is we don't have a title for this segment, but we'll work on it.
Wait, right here it is. Here it is.
Welcome to today's monthly roundup.
Wow, I really hate that a lot.
Yeah, same. Same. That was awful.
We're not using that.
I told you, the title for this is the monthly roundup, and I'm the one who controls the slave who posts shit, so that's what the name's going to be. Move on.
I don't... Why?
The monthly roundup.
Sorry, why are we using the word slave?
Yeah.
That was weird.
That's, no, okay.
Because I'm the one who posts there. It's me.
Are you the slave?
Yes, I'm my own
slave. You're the slave. You're the master of yourself?
No.
Okay,
no,
sure.
No, no,
but
no,
like,
no, no, no. Hey, guys.
Anyway.
Can we talk about the news and not your slave-master relationship
Slaves?
To yourself?
Okay,
that's
fair
not cool.
enough.
All right. Speaking of news, that's my segue because you guys are awful. You guys watched the official, quote-unquote, Frank Herbert's Dune drop of the trailer?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
How we feeling?
Hype.
Okay, that's a feeling.
Yeah.
That's Sir Patrick Stewart with something else.
Wait a minute.
Wait a second.
Yo, that Kyle MacLachlan. Yo, he's an up and comer.
Those guys are good.
Yep.
Those guys.
Yeah.
They could be something. They could.
Yeah. No. This shit looks interesting. I mean. Looking forward to it. I really don't want to see any more trailers for anything that I'm curious about. I just want to, whenever and however we start to consume the next wave of 2021 into 22 movies, I just want to like plug in. It's so easy for us to get our trailer fix. It's like, thank you, cool, I'll be there. You know, that's my stance. But the effects look good. And it seems like it actually, like, I actually feel like I'm going to understand the story a lot more this time. That's just me.
Well, did you watch the old one?
I did, and I was fucked.
Wow.
I never watched it, and people were like, yeah, good for you.
I'm not surprised you don't understand the story from the original or first movie with Captain Picard in it, because the book is ginormous. There is so much content. As an audiobook, it's like a day's worth of audio listening. Like, it's just, there's so much going on in the story. And for them to drill it down, it's like a couple hours of like, all right, here you go, here's the story. No fucking hope. I was confused after reading the book and having seen the movie. So the fact that it's like two movies, however long they might be, is certainly a benefit. I'll be curious to see how closely it follows the books, only in the sense that, you know, Paul's dad, the Duke Atreides, I don't know if they ever give his name.
Oscar Isaac.
Yeah. So he is not
That's not his name in the movie.
Yeah,
though.
He's not Oscar Isaac in the movie.
No. That's well, how I'm out. Look,
I'm out.
Don't tell me.
So he's like in the book, and listen, I'm going to spoil it for everybody because this book's been out for years. Close your ears, Spencer.
This is like 65 or something?
Yeah.
But the movie's not even out.
Close your ears, Spencer.
I have headphones on.
Dies. Well, that sounds like it's a you problem. He dies relatively early on in the story. And so, but he's very prominent in all the trailers. So I wonder if he's going to show up a lot in the movie through other means, flashbacks and whatever nonsense that
probably
goes on.
Probably, yeah. I don't think they would waste Oscar Isaac on like just a cameo in the beginning. At least I hope so.
Well,
I'm super hyped for this movie. I've always wanted to read Dune. I never did. And I now that I know how big it is, it's probably even less likely that I'll read it anytime soon. But I played the game, the old 2000s, early 2000s RTS game for Dune. The one that starts with Dune, Land of Sand. That one. And I had fun. Like, I didn't understand that shit.
That cleared it up.
Yeah.
The Land of Sand game.
If you played it, you would know what I mean. It was very, like, weird the way that the intro happened. But I never understood anything about anything in that game because it was... I think it was relying on people understanding, like, having some previous knowledge of the world. And I had none. But... another thing that has me really excited is Denis Villeneuve, which is obviously the director, saying that this is his best movie ever. And Denis Villeneuve has a very good like portfolio of movies under his belt, right? So if he's saying that, and I don't think he would just say it, that makes me even more excited.
I think everybody, it's like fighters before a fight when they're like, I'm in the best shape of my life. It's like, yeah, they say that every fight. Even when they're in bad shape, you can't trust that.
And then they get knocked out in 30 seconds. Bad
movie. I do think the movie's good, though, like based on the trailers. I think he's passionate about it, but you know, to say he's not biased when he says that would be
Yeah, he was naive. complaining that whoever it is, WB or whoever it is going to have a premiere at the same time in the movie theater and for streaming or something like that. And he didn't want that.
Did they take that away? I know they announced they were going to do that, but I think they're not doing that now because theaters are open again.
Okay.
That wasn't news in July, so I didn't read up on it.
Yeah, no, I remember. I remember they said
they have
they were
a
gonna,
hard July 31st cutoff.
Yeah.
Anything that happened before or post July, we pretend never happened. It doesn't exist. That seems
all right.
Fair.
Let's.
But I.
Oh, sorry. Finish, Spencer.
No, it's fine. I just was going to say that my take on the trailer is that it looks good, promising, but I don't really know the subject matter. So
same.
It's hard to say. It looks trippy and weird, and I like that. I like that it's not, like, anything that's not by the numbers, like, made by an algorithm seems interesting to me. So I'll be there.
Thanks, Twitter bot response, Spencer.
How did he know?
We forgot to mention Jason Momoa is going to be in there hacking and slashing too.
Yes.
Well, Jason Momoa and what's his face, Josh Brolin.
Mm-hmm. Josh Brolin, yeah. Timothy Chalamet.
All right. We don't need to go through the whole
Zendaya.
Cast. Watch the trailer if you want to know who the cast is. It's Dune's been coming for a while.
Mr. Bean's in it.
The cast seems very good. Like it's a good ensemble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pee-wee Herman.
Okay, we're moving on. Next news topic, one that's going to be just oh so fun for us to tackle. Have you guys heard of the company called Activision Blizzard?
Oh, God.
They blew themselves apart in the last week or so. It's been a long simmering bomb. The government of California decided to finally throw a match into that powder keg and serve them with a lawsuit that claims they have a very toxic workplace culture over the last couple of years. And then the floodgates opened on things that had happened, not just from the lawsuit, which is very in-depth, and I'm not going to belabor the lawsuit here, or go through it in detail, but go look it up. Jason Schreier covers things very in-depth from Bloomberg, but it's all over the internet now at this point. But yeah, basically Blizzard has just apparently had the most toxic work culture since, I don't know, the 1930s. It's just horrific, some of the stories that come out of it.
Yeah.
In the video game industry?
A shocker, right?
Right?
Crazy, shocker. Right?
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, I was like aghast. Even knowing it's, you know, the video game industry and how it usually goes. But like the fact that apparently some female employee killed herself on a company trip from the harassing that she was suffering and that kind of stuff. And it was like, listen, I used to love Blizzard games, like, and and it was one of my favorite studios back in the day, in like in the 90s and early 2000s. And lately, the past couple of years, it's been a disappointment after another. And like this is almost like the last nail in that coffin for me. Like I need to see something really, really, like some really big changes for me to rethink now my current position on that. That's, you know, not a company I want to give my money to anymore, honestly.
Mm-hmm. So for those of us who aren't as in the know, what I know Blizzard makes Warcraft, right? StarCraft. Is that like their only things they make, or do they make other stuff, or is it just all stuff connected to that?
It's that mostly, like, that stuff. They Diablo is another big one they have. I mean, World of Warcraft, right, yeah, has been a game that has been influential in pop culture and culture for 20 plus years now. But Blizzard is very much, yes, a part of Activision, who owns Call of Duty.
Oh, really?
As much, yeah, it's called Activision Blizzard. Now, most of the suit seems to center around the Blizzard culture. So don't know if it's specifically an Activision issue. Generally, those companies had operated very independently up until a couple of years ago. And now, yeah,
so are they both owned by the same company, or yeah, Blizzard owns
they
Activision
merged,
or vice versa?
Activision bought Blizzard out of Vivendi years ago, and they merged as a result of that. But they kept the Blizzard name because it was so, like, hyped and well respected in the gaming. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And they made that amazing movie, obviously, the World of Warcraft film, which won 32 Oscars.
I love that movie.
You know what, Spencer? Like, fuck you. That movie was good.
Yeah, fuck you. That movie was made for, like, Blizzard fans, or for Warcraft fans, really. But yeah, it's they have some iconic games even before Warcraft and StarCraft, like Rock and Roll Racing. Even I played the shit out of that game, and it's been like a downward spiral in the past. I don't know how. Actually, probably since the merger, right?
I don't know. Who the hell knows? Yeah.
But you're right, Matt. This latest thing is Blizzard mostly, like the Blizzard office, not Activision.
Yeah, and so it'll be interesting to see as this lawsuit plays out, because I think, unlike other instances in gaming with Riot and with Ubisoft, where they've had instances of the same sort of stuff, sexual harassment, misogyny, all the just toxic workplace stuff that men are prone to bring because they're men and just the worst at times, this is the first one where they've actually been served. Riot had a walkout, and they had some issues dealt with internally. Ubisoft fired a bunch of people as a result, but no one's been actually legally served with papers. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I think I'm going to move on from this just because it's a heavy topic, and I think there are much better resources that have handled it. I highly recommend going out and finding some female voices on this matter, because if you're not aware, this is very common in the workplace culture, especially with gaming, and understanding it from their perspective might add some more context to you than just a bunch of dudes talking about it. But yeah, check it out.
100%.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out long term. All right, on to a lighter note. Our good buddy Zack Snyder. We all love to hate him here. Some of us love him just about as much as they love Jean-Luc Picard. I don't know who's higher on that list.
That's a joke. Come on.
Okay.
Jean-Luc Picard, then God, than Zack Snyder.
What? Really? Right, I thought, okay. I don't even want to know that list and what you do in the holodeck together. So, Zack Snyder has made a deal with Netflix, or maybe it's the same deal he has. So, it's not now for a zombie franchise, which honestly I don't quite 100% understand how that got turned into a franchise, but good news. He's also going to do a sci-fi franchise. And he himself has said that it's going to be influenced by Star Wars and Kurosawa films, which is like doubling down on the same thing twice, because Star Wars was influenced by Kurosawa. But yep. Yep. Well, what do I know? Yeah. He really hasn't said what it is, and we don't know what it is, although it's coming in 2022. So, like, what do you guys think he's bringing?
Oh man, the first thing I saw and I read about this was like, I'm going to have a more mature take on Star Wars, and I was like, of course you would say that, you piece of shit. Apparently it's going to be called Rebel Moon or something like that, but that's all that I know about it. There's nothing else about it other than the name, I think.
That's no Rebel Moon.
And it's a space opera.
Yeah, that already sounds too, like, Moonbase and Rebels are both, like, already Star Wars things. So it sounds like it's going to be just rearranged words from Star Wars based on that title. But yeah, saying it's inspired by Kurosawa and Star Wars is like saying a recipe is inspired by potatoes and McDonald's French fries.
Yeah,
they're like, it's very similar.
Inspired by potatoes and tubers.
Yeah, it's just like one is made of the other.
Yeah,
but I would say, like, as a big fan of Snyder, I am cautiously optimistic. You know, my main issue with Snyder is, and I think with most people, is his script writing and, like, his stories. He has, like, good concepts, and I love his directing. Like, I think he does great visuals. I think he could almost just be a cinematographer, and it would be maybe better. But story-wise, it's like he's
damning with faint praise there.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, his dialogue is very, like, unnatural, and to have him writing a world from scratch, it makes me... The fact that the zombie movie he made, people were complaining the story was too convoluted. I'm like, really? I didn't even see it. I'm like, the story in a zombie movie? Like, that just scares
I believe
me.
It.
Yeah,
I believe
that
it.
Sounds like Zack Snyder in a nutshell. Don't worry, he's got two co-writers this time. Shay Hatton, who wrote John Wick 3, and Kurt Johnstad, who co-wrote 300 with him and has also written Atomic Blonde. So, I don't know, man.
Weird. They're both like... Atomic Blonde is like a similar to John Wick, so that's...
It's, yeah.
Interesting that... Is this going to be like an action Star Wars? Like, kind of like an assassin-based... Like John Wick in space, I'm thinking.
But mature.
I'm here for it.
I'd watch the shit out of that.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus fucking Christ, that's John Wick. I mean, Kenobi. I mean... With Kobe.
Kill the man.
The coins are going to be credits. Yeah, I'm just cautious. I'm not cautiously optimistic about this.
I would say I'm curious. There's not too much to go on with this. But I feel like... I don't know. I'm actually a little perplexed because apart from just like visuals, I'm not quite sure what's going to happen. And I feel like it's going to be more challenging for him because how do you revision or like strike out and carve your own niche out of a spectrum that's been so defined. And so for me, I'm curious, but I'm actually a little worried. In terms of like what tone is he going to try to strike? Like, look at Solo. They're working within the same universe, but it didn't really get off the ground. Whereas Rogue One, that one had a bit more structure, I would say. So I think I need to hear more, but I'm curious. We'll see.
But those movies are both part of the Star Wars universe. Whereas a more apt analogy would be like Jupiter Ascending, like trying to create your own Star Wars. It's very hard to create that lore from scratch.
Why would you use
and not come off
an awful movie like Jupiter Ascending?
Because that's like, name another like new franchise that they tried to create that's like Star Wars.
What about? I was going to say the
Valerian.
Oh, well, that came from.
Like, I heard that one.
That came from comic books.
And it's also awful, that movie.
It's not great.
I mean, so is Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah.
So.
I was thinking like Pitch Black, like that sort of series. It starts off horror in the first one, but it kind of drifts into its own. It's not great, but it's not awful.
I said modern. That movie came out like 20 years ago.
Yeah, but there's the... Anyways, I'm not going to get it. Dune. Dune sounds like a great way to do it. Also a book. So
also a book, yeah.
I don't know how Zack Snyder is going to do it, but good news, guys. tucked into this very short article is, just in case you were concerned about Zack Snyder's ability to make movies, he also is going to make something based on Norse mythology. So he's just covering his bases at this point. He's hit the zombies, the Norse, and then the Star Wars. So what's left? Pirates of the
Caribbean.
Maybe
he should put all of those together and make like a zombie Nordic inspired sci-fi movie. That would be new.
I'm all in for that.
Well, I would too, because at least he would have to do something that is actually, even if it's based off of something, it's not just like a facsimile with very few differences. It would have to do something.
Yeah, it would be like, Olaf, the aliens are at our door. Wake the sleeping zombies.
wake the clones that never die.
Guys, did we just make a new franchise?
I mean.
I think we did.
Chris sounds really excited about it.
I am. I'm thoroughly excited. There's also there's another area that's been left untouched.
You know, we all know you, and we've all been in other podcasts with you, and we know when you're excited, and we know when you're almost dead, which is where you're at right now.
I'm not dead. I'm giving you proof of life right now. There's also ancient Chinese mythology. Ooh. He's one of these days. Don't be surprised if he tries to craft his own Journey to the West with the Monkey King, starring Sammo Hung.
Matt Damon. I'm already offended.
We already saw that Matt Damon movie that I assume Zack Snyder.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If Zack Snyder made anything with Asian mythology or whatever, that would be another Great Wall for sure.
All right.
Probably right.
Well, we're done with Zack Snyder for a while, but we'll come back. He always likes to give us tidbits every month. I think the next one's really interesting because it comes from a mind more addled and troubled than Zack Snyder's, and that's Mark Zuckerberg's. Mark Zuckerberg is hot to trot on the metaverse, and the metaverse is the new buzz in technology business world. At a really high level, the metaverse is connecting all the devices on the internet and all the things on the internet into one ecosystem. Like, that's the gist I got out of it. And one of the things specifically that's come out is they have, as Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, they're making smart glasses now. Apparently, they can do it better than Google. And the key to them being better than Google is they're going to look cool because Ray-Ban is right involved with this. So you guys are getting them, right?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I mean, these are all new ways for Facebook to steal and sell my information. Now they can steal and sell my life through my own eyes.
Steal your vision.
I really want to wear a computer that Facebook made full of ads right on my face. That's really what I want to do with my life.
Because you know you can trust Facebook.
Of course.
They've only got your interests at heart.
Leave it to even less human and completely non-charismatic data make something like, what the hell? Like,
you can trust the whole... that lizard robot, Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
As he licks his own eyeball.
You guys are seeing this all wrong. Like, think of the power of live streaming to Instagram. What you're seeing at the same time as you watching people watching you on Instagram in the other eye. Like, don't you want that level?
Like reacting to people reacting to
you? Yeah. It's just like a reaction loop.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm going to watch someone on my phone watching me on their phone.
Watching you.
And watching me.
Watching you.
Watching me.
Watching Chris.
Take it away, Chris.
please, someone keep watching me. Oh God. It's generally speaking, if it was darn near anyone else but Facebook, I'd feel a lot safer.
Well, the whole idea from his own robotic mouth is that this is not just the thing that one company is going to do. It's going to be he's saying that it's going to be the next mobile internet that like a bunch of companies are going to have to be involved. Basically, he's trying to say, no, guys, don't worry. This is not a cyberpunk future that I'm planning. This is not a mega like corporation Ready Player One shit that I'm planning for you guys. Don't worry. It's all like, of the companies together.
That sounds like what someone would say exactly right before they turn into a mega conglomerate that turns everything into a cyberpunk future that is controlling all your information. Guys, that's not, it's not that. It's not exactly what we're doing. We're doing not that. You don't get it.
This thing that you're seeing only that we're doing, that's not it. It's not it. It's something else. Yeah.
Only if Mark Zuckerberg was saying it, it would be like, that thing you're seeing us doing is not what we're like, doing.
Look over here.
Of that.
Yeah. No.
In other news, many people who have purchased the Facebook Metaverse smart glasses have incidentally been overtaken by said sunglasses, and metallic tendrils have burrowed themselves into many of these poor customers. Mord, back to you, Brick Tamblyn.
Yep, that doesn't even sound like fiction. That's the worst part.
That's that news bulletin comes to you from July 2022. We're only talking about the month of July here, but future past is all good. So I believe that's 100% going to happen. I guess I'm curious as to how the metaverse is going to benefit me, the consumer. Mm-hmm. Versus Facebook, the company controlled by a robotic snake man.
Well, I have some good news for you, because there are some other people that are interested in this.
This doesn't sound like good news. Thing. I hate this already.
Well, let me finish. Okay. Let me finish. It's like people that we all trust, like, you know, Tim Sweeney from Epic.
Yeah.
And Satya Nadella from Microsoft and the founder from NVIDIA. They're all interested in this metaverse thing. So now you can feel safe. None of these people are interested in, you know, money or making you watch more ads or anything like that, right?
Okay. And like, what about the king of the space sticks? Is he interested in it?
Bezos probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know who's a big fan of this idea? Putin. And that guy's got our interest.
Yeah, he's never hacked anybody or poisoned them or anything like that.
Hacked? Come on. Putin, that teddy bear?
He just loves everybody. Everywhere.
You know.
Yeah, he's
Putin. Oh, looks like he's Jack Dorsey from Twitter is also interested. This is just great names.
So it's all basically everyone who can profit from this like the idea. Which is that's a hot take, surprising. I would say the benefit for the customer, which is often the case, is when you say any product that you potentially might want, it'll come in front of you, which saves you the slight effort of having to look it up on your own. Now it'll just come to you.
It already does that. Like I just.
But it'll come faster.
Will it? Because like, how often is my cell phone not in my hand?
It's gonna be in your brain.
Well, that's the thing. They want you to not. They want you to. Apparently, Mark Zuckerberg said that, you know, quote unquote, humans were not made to live their lives through a glowing rectangle. Okay. And I was like, how do you know you're not human? So,
got it. So instead of a glowing rectangle, I have two smaller glowing, like, what are they, circles, semicircles?
Well, they want you to they want to include VR in this and augmented reality. So it's like you're going to be, you know how you're always on your phone and you don't have time for like lesser things like family and relationships.
They're the worst.
They're going to have even less.
You know what? I've got it. Oh. He's building the Matrix. We're just going to fucking be pop.
I was going to say that.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Can I just point out the irony of that statement?
What?
That he says humans weren't meant to stare at a screen, and instead of the natural reaction of being like, that means we should put our phones down and live life, his solution was, no, we should put that screen in our brains. So that way you don't have to look at the screen.
It's like, no, don't go out with people and experience things with them. Stay in your house and pretend that you're with people by engaging VR. That's much better.
No, it's even worse than that. It's like, don't spend your life looking at your phone. Become your phone.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what do you expect from Zuckerberg? Have you seen his eyes?
No one has. Not his real eyes.
What really worries me is that when you look at the scales,
like Mark Zuckerberg's
they're
scales?
Outweighed. No, it doesn't matter. Like hear me out. When you look at the scales, it's totally in imbalance between people, like all of the people, like the rap sheet of names you all listed off based on people who are looking to profit. And then I was listening to a podcast last month about it was an Adobe podcast talking about one of their products that from a more either artistic or just like experimental perspective, where like artists can look at spaces like the side of a building and then create art, for example, to occupy that space. And this conversation of how we can kind of tap into like not human potential, but just like using the tools that we're used to. How do we add a benefit? How do we enrich our societies with tools that are either on the horizon or have existed and need to be refined, versus the tools that are emerging and bleeding edge, like AR and metaverse glasses and so on, to perpetuate consumption. So it's extremely imbalanced, where you have the weightier side, just all the people who stand to profit and make tons of money, versus the people who are looking to experiment and try things to show different perspective, human expression. So it's scary. It really is scary for me, at least.
But don't worry, Chris, Facebook has your back. They're definitely not gonna profiteer. They're definitely going to make this as altruistic and positive as possible, with no side effects or consequences. Don't worry about it.
Meanwhile, also knock Chris, on the door.
Chris sounds like a Chris kind of sounds like a socialist to me.
Do you know what that word means?
Yeah, it means they like hanging out with people socially.
Great.
Obviously. Hey.
Smooth. Okay, next topic. Since we've it's the perfect segue. Speaking of people hanging out socially online, PlayStation had their own private little event in July. PlayStation of the "we're too good to come to E3, so we're going to do our own thing" in July. Previewed a bunch of games.
That sucks, eh?
I mean, why does it suck?
I don't know. I just feel like E3 used to be such a fun thing, and now it sucks.
We can't.
And now it's like
we can't talk about that. That happened in June, bro.
Yeah, since the Earth was created 30 days ago, I've enjoyed. I've enjoyed what PlayStation has done with their conferences.
Exactly.
Oh my God!
Since I came into being.
Was there like okay?
But he's got a point there.
They did this because they want to have their own spotlight, right? They want to have their own time, so it works because there's not a lot going on with video games in terms of the news in July. So, did you guys see anything you liked coming out of the PlayStation event?
Yeah,
I mean, nope. Surprisingly, I didn't see a lot of like stuff come out of it, like in terms of the big IPs, anyways.
For me, I'd say though, because like this month, I both just like discovered for myself this new anime, new anime. It's kind of a hit now, Demon Slayer. So there's a video game coming out for that, and I was like, I didn't even know that was a thing. So one season of the show out, a movie out, video game up and coming, and I'm like, whoa, these guys are moving quickly, right? So there's that, and then I also saw Fist. Did any of you see the trailer for that game? It's like, for those who do not know, Fist is essentially what sounds like a Japanese rabbit running around with
fisting people.
No, sir. Yes, but not the way you're looking for. What you do in the holodeck is up to you. No judgment.
Yeah, you're goddamn right.
So he's got a mecha. He's got like a sort of like a Neon Genesis Evangelion mech strapped to his back that can do different things. Sort of like a Swiss Army mech fist. it's essentially. As soon as I said it, I was like, "Whoa, hot potato."
It's fine.
Yeah. So it's for me, what's kind of exciting, because it's like, what would happen if Usagi Yojimbo went to the future like Samurai Jack and just went all in on the tech? That's kind of what I feel like would happen. So I'm looking forward to that.
Also, did you say Demon Slayer a small success?
No. New.
Is that like the biggest movie ever in China right now? Like, what did it break?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure the movie of Demon Slayer like broke crazy records.
That's cool.
Of like the top grossing movie
maybe
of all time.
Maybe we don't know it didn't happen in July.
Oh, sorry. This movie. What? What movie?
Exactly.
It came Demon out. Slayer.
When did that come out?
I don't know. Times. I feel like it could have been. It could have been Before Times, yeah. Or it could have been. It, if it was this month, then it was this month. But what if it mean? Wasn't this yeah. month, don't worry don't about know. It.
Are there other months?
Not that I'm aware of.
Which calendar do you subscribe to? Do you subscribe to the Mayan calendar? Well, the
Gregorian, which is our choose?
I'm mm-hmm. scrolling through the news of this, and like mm-hmm. for me personally, I don't see anything that caught my attention at all.
Mm-hmm. It's a small IP, right? It's like a small, like I don't think it's a most big of them. Release.
Oh, there wasn't a lot of like actual big IP news. The biggest IP news they had was just that somehow a video game that the director had complete control over is getting a director's cut of said video game, which just baffled me.
He did say he doesn't like the calling it a director's cut because it's not stuff that's cut from the game. It was stuff he just added after the game came out.
So wow. It's a marketing director's add-on more than a director's
exactly.
cut.
Exactly. Okay. It's a director DLC but marketed as a new game.
Okay.
Wow.
Did anybody play Death Stranding?
No.
I was so like, I honest. Did. No, I didn't. Did
I
you?
I did. I played the whole game.
What did you think of
I'm
it?
A huge Metal Gear fan, and yeah. that game like did get interesting, but uh-huh. man, oh man, was that game a fucking grind to play. If you like walking and you like walking a little bit faster than normal pace, then you're gonna love this game.
Oh my god!
Well, but I mean,
that sounds like a time.
If you're gonna say Hideo Kojima is, you know, has a game out, and then you're gonna say it's interesting or you know peculiar, I think those are, isn't that like an oxymoron? Or not an oxymoron? Sorry, they're just redundant at this point. That the yeah. game is gonna be it's okay like, then.
No, like the story is like really out there and super creative and everything, but it's just mm-hmm. like. Man, it took a lot to get into, and then it's one of those games where it's like you're like, oh, I can't wait to figure out what's going on, and mm-hmm. then at the end you're like, I never figured out what's going on.
Oh,
cool.
But like, I figured out why John killed his own mother to impregnate his mother's sister.
Wait, is this spoilers?
You know, like the crazy Kojima? No, this is just like I'm making up, but it's like Kojima's classic, like. Interwining like character dramas what without explaining the overarching main story. Anyways, solid game.
Doesn't Death Stranding have a thing where they use like dead babies to find ghosts or whatever?
That is an apt description.
Wow.
Check yeah. it out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'd rather just play the DLC because they introduced racetracks this time.
Oh well, that settles everything.
Racetracks, and then you know, I looked at the trailer and it's like you get to have a robot slave carry your shit while you almost walk quicker than normal.
that is, believe it or not, after playing that game, that's a pretty big deal.
Oh wow! Oh my god! Wow.
Cool.
Okay.
Wow.
So that's a thing that's happening. I think overall, looking at this PlayStation event, it just seems like the reason why they ended up having it in July wasn't that they wanted to have the spotlight so much as that everything fucking sucked in comparison to what like Microsoft and the other yeah. companies announced at E3, and so they didn't look like shit in comparison. They just had their own day to be like, oh, that's cool, I guess that you're bringing those, you know, fun indie games, but also
yeah, like it's like if you're PlayStation having an event, like give me Ragnarok or fuck off in my opinion. Like if you're not gonna release a trailer, at least it's like anything for Ragnarok, like I'm not interested. Like that or like a new Naughty Dog or like mm-hmm. that's like the, you know, the system pushers, like right? Like what does PS5 yeah. really have? I have a PS5, like I managed to get one off a screaming child in the streets and
as is tradition.
And, you know, as I wailed upon his body, I was thinking, what am I even going to play on this thing? Is this worth this child's tears?
Wow.
And it was because I played Miles Morales, and I was very happy. And such is life. But
for who, the
what
kid?
I will say is, yeah, you know, he
had it coming,
It was... It was
he had it coming.
It was
he can get a PS6, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He has a GoFundMe. Yeah. He's fighting for his life.
Mama. Yes,
how,
Oliver.
How red bearded Jesus beat me up and took my PS5.
But
please help me. I need surgery.
But after I beat Miles Morales, I was like, what do I do with this expensive powerful machine that I'm literally playing like Warzone on because I don't really have anything else?
Yep. Well, that's the only thing that can play Warzone that I'm aware of. So good money. Good money well spent.
Yeah, that's true. It does require 400 gigs to play
Jesus. We'll see if
one multiplayer
we'll
game.
We'll see if Sony has another PlayStation event in July or other months that I don't know the names of, since that's a thing we're doing now. Maybe they'll show better stuff, especially as we get closer to the holidays, where you know they like to blow their load on.
That might be it. They might do that.
Yeah.
Phrasing, but okay.
No, I meant to phrase it that way.
No, I think that's exactly what you said. Exactly.
All right, then.
What load were you thinking of?
When you load the game. Nope. Isn't that what he's talking about?
Segway. I'm segueing to another company that doesn't know how to make press releases to avoid bad press, and that's our good friends at Disney. Mm-hmm. So in the month of July, the movie Black Widow was released to both theaters and to the Disney Plus Premier Access, I believe it's called, where you can pay the low price of $30 or $35 to watch the movie, which, I mean...
No, what thanks. A deal.
I mean, if you have like a family of four, then yeah, great. Have some friends over.
Okay, sure.
Cheap deal.
Who has a family of four?
I don't know. Not me.
People.
What are we living in the 50s?
What kind of response is that? Family of four.
It's like you're asking who has 11 children. It's not really what Matt said.
No, he's focusing on the right part. Anyways, the news. This news article isn't necessarily that this movie came out or how much Disney is charging for it, but rather that Scarlett Johansson has decided to sue Disney.
Johansson.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
You know, he went full like Scandinavian there. Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson. The very known actress.
Miss Johansson. And her agency are suing Disney. The basis of the lawsuit is most high-level Hollywood stars generally get a percentage of box office as part of their contract. And so they are suing because now that all of these streaming companies are putting things onto their streaming platforms day and date, that money that is earned from selling like Premier Access doesn't go to the star. It sounds like their contracts, and I haven't seen a contract, so I'm guessing, but it sounds like their contracts are only written in that they get a proceed of the gate from theaters. And so the basis of the lawsuit is that, you know, that's bullshit. And Disney had the gall to respond and say that, basically, you already made $20 million from this movie, and how dare you ask people to go to the theater to watch a movie in the time of COVID, says the, I think I saw $112 billion valuation company to the actress. How are you guys feeling about this lawsuit?
Oh, I just want to add a couple things that I heard about this as well, because I looked into this a little bit. Not only does Disney have the gall to say, how should she ask people to go, she literally, I believe Disney said that showing her on Disney Plus has more people see her at home, thus giving her like her brand more eyes.
Oh, that shit.
So literally the legit version of we're not paying you, but we're giving you exposure.
Yeah.
Like the literal business version of that. And to do that to a super famous woman like Scarlett Johansson is just like everyone knows that name. Mm-hmm. So she's already famous enough. You don't mess with the Johansons. So, Johansons, that's the saying.
All the Johansons.
She's so popular, she created that saying.
Yeah.
So it's like not only just that, they actually, like Lily said, you got free exposure, you mega superstar actress. Like, what a dropped ball. They're, it's so stupid.
Like, does Disney think that she's not going to sue or fight back? Like, they don't think she's got, like, she's not like some bit part actress that got her first big break and made like $500,000. Like, I think she has enough money to see this one through, and she's not the only one. Like, I've heard other famous stars are also thinking of lawsuits for
what was the other one
movies.
I was looking it up.
Yeah,
I couldn't remember.
There's another one.
There's another woman, right?
Yeah, there's another one that came to streaming. It was on a different platform, though. I don't think it was Disney. That went direct to streaming and was supposed to go to the theater. And
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
There's a couple cases of that. I believe also in the story, this is what I read, was that she also had the foresight to, before the movie was even, long before the movie was released, she thought eventually it could potentially be released on streaming. And she messaged Disney's their lawyers or whatever, saying her concern that if it goes to Disney Plus, it'll affect her box office return. And they said, oh, don't worry, if that comes to the case, we'll renegotiate.
Right.
And she has apparently she has record of that, and they never even contacted her, and they just released it and ignored her, which is just hilariously stupid.
All right, looks like there's some talk about Emily Blunt joining her,
right,
because of Jungle Cruise, and Emma Stone over Cruella.
Oh, so it was all
that's
Disney.
The one. Oh. Yeah, because it's all Disney. Yeah, that was it. It was Emma Stone and Cruella that I heard. Emily Blunt's new to me. Do they not make this? How do you run a business and not go over this before you release it on streaming?
And I think this is very insidious, at least in my mind, because if it is exactly like Matt says, where the actor gets a portion of the box office and then the movie makes a lot of money, but a lot of it is on streaming, and they're no, this is not box office, this is just streaming, you don't get that cut, that's even more bullshit. I don't know if that's the case, but it sounds might be the case.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, so then, I think she's right to sue Disney, and I hope more people join if Disney's doing that to them. And I think, Matt says, she has the money and the clout to see this through and probably even win, depending on how it is. And I think Disney is making a very stupid bet for a very stupid reason, in my opinion. They're going to gain nothing in this.
I honestly think that the only reason they even think they could even get away with this in the first place is that they just think that these actresses and actors, I assume they're doing it too as well, are just thinking, I don't want to sue Disney, not because I can't win or anything, but because they own every movie company and I want to continue to act. And they're going to get blackballed from fucking with Disney and wanting to be an actor is career suicide at this point, especially unless you're planning to go do A24 films for the rest of your career, which probably will be bought out by Disney.
I disagree.
You're going to only work. We're going to only work with the WB and
This isn't the 1940s. You can't just blackball people anymore. Twitter exists. There's so much social media that exists that now this is public. People are going to fucking scream at Disney and not go watch their garbage movies because the people they want to be in them aren't there.
Them going public is the counter to it, but I think that's what Disney is counting on, that they don't want to make an enemy out of Disney because they own so many properties.
Yeah, and I just think that's a stupid bet because Disney doesn't understand how people work in the 2020s.
Yeah, they're essentially following the WB playbook.
Yeah, but I'll bet you they fucked over enough people and gotten away with it over the last friggin' 80 years.
Oh, sure.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean this is the way to do it now, right?
It doesn't mean just because it happened with people with less, fame and clout, that it was going to work with famous actors that everybody knows and loves. At this point, Johansson is Black Widow. She is Black Widow, and if Disney has to recast her because she's okay, so now I'm not going to work with you guys anymore, that's going to be bad for everybody.
To jump on Spencer's side, I'm going to say that Black Widow's dead, and so they don't care to do any more movies with her. I think that's the angle they're going to be taking here.
That's fair, unfortunately.
100%, we all know that if this was happening in between Avengers 1 and 2, they were not going to fuck over Scarlett Johansson. They're going to be whatever you want, ma'am, take it. Take every dollar. Mm-hmm. Because they are, and then now that she's out, they're you can go fuck yourself. Scarlett Johansson. God, Black Widow's dead.
Yeah,
we don't need you.
Actually, that makes sense, unfortunately.
We'll see how it goes, because I think this is going to be, the lawsuit's interesting to me because it's going to be an interesting battleground, because the decision out of here could be a big precedent for the rest of Hollywood, especially in terms of contracts. It's always funny to me to see very rich companies think that we're going to get mad at rich people for wanting more from the mega rich companies. Like they, I've seen this mistake made in sports all the time when sports teams have an argument against a player wanting more money, and the team always thinks that the fans are going to get super mad at the player because, oh, how dare he want $25 million instead of the $22 million we offer him. We're offering him so much money. Meanwhile, the team's valuation is like, you know, $20-30 billion. And so much is so often the case. The backlash is, fuck you guys for being cheap. Pay the guy we like what he wants.
Yeah.
So,
I agree with that. And if I were Disney, and I'm not, just to be
clear.
What? I'm not Disney.
You're not Spencer Disney? Yes. I thought that was your name.
But if I were Disney, I would say, I'm pretty sure they're going to do this, is they're just going to settle. They're going to settle out of court. They have so much fucking money. If they honestly go to battle over this, this is such a good, like, it would be one thing if this was like setting a precedent. You know, they're like, oh, we got to set a precedent here that you don't get a P. But this whole direct to streaming while going to theaters is very, hopefully, a temporary thing, you know, because people will just start going back to theaters once, you know, COVID hopefully gets, under control. So, like, they should just settle this and get it done with and then, like, not eat any more of this bad press, because that is to say, does bad press even affect Disney? Like, if we wanted to boycott, we would even know how? They own everything.
They
own my toothbrush.
They own half of everything, not everything. Yeah.
I don't know. Spencer has a Mickey toothbrush. It's, you know, it's Disney's.
Gross.
Yeah.
Don't put that in
but
your mouth.
But I am Disney, so it makes sense. Whoops.
Oh.
I always believed.
I knew it. Let's
we'll get you, ScarJo.
Let's keep this train moving past the Scarlett Johansson lawsuit.
I think you mean ScarJo.
Yeah. Yeah.
ScarJo. We'll get you, ScarJo.
So, Valve announced the Steam Deck, which is going to be their version of a Nintendo Switch. You're going to be able to play they say almost all of your Steam games. They've shown many a demo of multiple games running on it. But yeah, it basically looks like a Switch, and it went on pre-sale in July for anywhere from, I think it was like 400 US up to close to 1,000 for a portable sort of computer. It looks interesting in the sense that, you know, you can play your games, all your computer games on the run. You don't have to buy them, you know, like, on the Switch. If you don't have it on the Switch, you have to rebuy it. So there's a benefit there of it's a transferable library. But I don't know, how you guys feeling about the Steam Deck?
I'm excited. When I was a kid, I always wanted a Sega Game Gear, and I would like flip open to like the gaming section of like the different like store catalogs that I would get outside, and I just like fawn over, and I'm like, one day maybe I'll have one. Fast forward, like, so many competitors are making their own. There was like before this, maybe 2 months ago, there was a different independent one that's been launched off of Kickstarter and gaining a lot of traction, sold out and stuff. And I was like, I was seriously considering it. I had no idea this was coming. So looking at something like this, in terms of just like the options that we have for gaming, both portable and just like leisurely at home, I'm for it, because I like playing a lot of mobile games, but at the same time, if I can take it with me and I have like a larger screen and it's still an immersive experience, I'm excited. My only question is, like, what's up with the square, like, I don't know what's up with the square pads beneath the D sticks. I don't know what those are for, or if they're just aesthetic.
I think they're the same as the Steam controller. They have like, it's almost like a trackpad, if I'm not mistaken. The Steam controller has something similar to that. I think that's what it is.
Thank you.
That sounds.
It looks weird. It looks like someone like forgot a piece of it and decided to stick something there. I see what you mean. I think it's a genius idea. I don't like mobile gaming at all. But I think it's a genius idea from like a money perspective, because, you know, it's like, here, just buy this thing. You already have these games. Just buy this thing and play them wherever you want, right? Rather than having to buy the games again. Although people do buy the games again, but, you know. I think it will hinge a lot on, can it actually play those games? Can you actually play some of those games in there?
It seems like the demos say yes. Though one of the fun stats they put out on this, which I'm very dubious of, is the idea that when asked about the playtime for the battery, it's between 2 and 8 hours. And I'm like, that is a fucking huge ass range for playing portable video games, guys. If it's 2 hours, I'm very much less interested than the 6 to 8 hours range.
That's one way on the go train, guys.
Well, you can plug it in at work.
Why? No, they're gonna sell you. They're gonna sell you, a Steam backpack that has batteries, and you connect it to the backpack. There you go. They can play for another 2 hours.
when you say a Steam battery, I assume you mean it's running on a Steam engine.
Yeah, yeah. It's got a little smokestack out the back of your backpack, and
it's powering your monitor.
Can use it inside the Go Train though, because then it will smoke up the inside.
So I'm a huge nerd in pretty much every category but this stuff. So I'm just going to be the resident dummy here. So just to clarify, steam is a type of compressed gas.
Wow.
Or when you heat water.
Why are you like this?
It becomes...
Yeah. This is why you're always the resident dummy. It's not new.
I just want to know how steam works. No.
You should have asked... Really?
So basically, you turn on your computer and you start boiling water.
What are you
can
doing?
You stop?
And you put it in your monitor.
Can you not? Can you not?
I actually, ask a question.
So legit question. Do you guys all play Steam games?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't actually, but I'm thinking about it.
So
now.
Here's the thing: there's no such thing as a Steam game. Steam is just a delivery system, much like having a PS5. You have all your games delivered to you by Sony. So any PC game you can get on Steam, but you can also get it on the Epic Game Store, but you can also get on the Microsoft, whatever the Xbox thing is called.
Except for the Valve games, right?
Valve doesn't make games, bro.
What do you mean? Half-Life 3 is around the corner.
Fuck you.
So what you're saying is like Steam is like water vapor, essentially.
Okay.
Oh, fuck. Can we mute him?
I'm all for a good bit, but this is just awful. I'm sorry, everybody.
Mr. Wizard, what's condensation?
Fuck me.
Condensation.
I think you mean condescension?
Yes.
Yeah. So, but in all reality, you can... So you guys already have all these games on your PCs?
Yep.
Yeah. And are the games on Steam, are they... like games I'd know? Like, are they on other consoles or are they only on PC?
Basically everything you can get on a console, unless it's an exclusive, you can get on Steam. Warzone's a really bad example because I think it's locked to the Blizzard launcher. But like a lot of the EA games, like the EA Star Wars games, they're available through your console, through EA Play, through Steam, through the Origin app, or now it's EA Play app on your computer. Like, if it's not exclusive, it's going to end up on Steam. Steam is the preeminent gaming platform on the PC. Or
the
delivery system
to play games. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'll also add, like, for example, like IPs like the Batman Arkham series, those are now available. Are they not? Like the whole series.
Well, they've always been available on Steam.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying as an example, that might be a more mainstream
Most AAA games are going to be on PC and on Steam as they hit like the Xbox and the PS5, or not so with Nintendo games though. Nintendo games, that, like Matt says, the exclusive ones are not going to come. But yeah.
Okay, so Steam is like a mist of minute water droplets.
Yes.
Okay, we need to mute him.
Actually, he brought it home. I think I actually got that one.
But now I get it. Now I get it.
Yeah. So, anyways, the minute water droplet delivery of gaming system is going to have a piece of hardware that's going to make it very attractive to a large number of people. I'll be curious to see. You know, they had a lot. Like, I don't know if it's sold out on pre-orders, but I know a lot of people bought a pre-order, but it was $5 down. And I'll be really curious to see how many of those $5 people convert, because $5 is literally nothing.
So
we'll see.
Oh, Mr. Moneybags over here.
Yes, I can afford a Steam battery pack, and you can't.
You're goddamn right, I can't.
Ghostbusters 3, right? That's a thing, yeah. Right? That's the Jason Reitman vehicle. Had its second trailer drop in July, and this trailer focused on sort of the kids and their, and it gave a bit more to the story as well. Did you guys all check this out?
Spencer, did you see it? Trailer?
I did see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, but is it the third movie? Wasn't there a third movie already?
No.
Melissa McCarthy and
that's ladies? Not mainline story canon. This one actually builds off of Ghostbusters 2. Right.
So is it legit called Ghostbusters 3?
Yeah.
Or is it just called Ghostbusters Afterlife?
Yeah.
I mean, I saw the trailer. I think it looks promising. It looks like they're like trying to honor the originals, you know. The thing is, like, it's weird because Ghostbusters like wasn't like a really serious you know, franchise. It's like they're treating it, the trailer reminded me of like Star Wars 4 because Force Awakens, like she finds the old, you know, in the old ship, she's finding all these old like pieces of the past,
yep.
And it's like there was an old legend, you know. It's like that it's like, oh, all this nostalgia, but it's like Ghostbusters wasn't like, they were like joking the whole time.
It's,
he's like, this is true, this man has no dick. Like that's,
yeah, I'd be curious. I didn't go back and watch Ghostbusters trailers, but I don't think the Ghostbusters trailers are necessarily built around the comedic aspect of it, right? I think they are based around the ghostliness of the movie or the spookiness of the movie. So to your point, the trailer certainly looks like a very serious movie, but there's got to be jokes in it. Otherwise, what's the point?
I would bet the trailers for the original Ghostbusters are like the classic, like, when there's something spooky about, and it's all like creepy. Mm-hmm.
First of all,
like,
it's when there's something strange in your neighborhood. Can you just do
when
it
there's
right?
Something strange Thank you. In your neighborhood, and you don't know who to call, and that goes, and they go, oh, well, hello there. And it's like they're all goofy and like the mm-hmm. contrast. That's what I imagine mm-hmm. the trailer. This one is like, you know, like Stranger Things, the movie.
That's exactly what it yeah. feels like. And
which is a weird tone.
Well, one of the things that concerns me about the movie is how much it's Force Awakenings itself. Because you see in this trailer, you see stuff such as the dogs from the first movie that Sigourney Weaver and Rick Moranis turned into. It comes bursting out chasing Paul Rudd.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
And it almost looks like the original ghost from the end scene of Ghostbusters 1. She is climbing out of the pit. You only see the arms, so you can't tell. Slimer's back. You see the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man roasting each other, which that's a whole thing, apparently.
Was that Zool, the dog? Zool?
No. So Zool is the ghost, but the dogs were the keymaster and the gatekeeper.
That Wait, who's like Gozer?
I feel like that was the dog.
I don't know.
I feel like the Sigourney Weaver was Zool, because she's like, there is no... what their name is, only Zool.
So right. Zool is a demigod and loyal companion to the Sumerian shapeshifter god of destruction, Gozer the Gozerian.
Yeah, Gozer was the main the
Yeah,
main
so
bad guy.
Zool was Sigourney Weaver, and then Vince Clortho, I think he was the Carpathian or something.
Yeah.
He's that weird painting. The keymaster. So there you go. It's a little trip down Ghostbusters memory lane.
Oh, I just watched the trailer just now.
Ooh. Oh, so you were listening
live,
to us.
Live reaction?
I was.
Okay.
And I got exact as you were... It was funny because as you were saying, Spencer, that it feels like Stranger Things the movie, I was like showing the kid from Stranger Things, first of all. And it feels exactly like that. But I was going to say the only scene that I really liked that it really made me chuckle was the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man turning themselves into s'mores. That was funny. The rest is very serious. So
you have a weird sense of humor.
I know. I know.
And I feel like you were listening, but you weren't really hearing us. You know?
Sure.
I just don't
Let's
feel
go
heard.
With that. Let's go with that.
But like, yeah, the only thing that I like about the movie, I think it's interesting is that it's directed by Ivan Reitman, right? Which is Jason Reitman, who's Ivan Reitman's son.
Yep.
Which is cool.
Yeah, it's in the right hands, so to speak.
Like I'm just interested in how he'll honor it, and like I feel like there's like an emotional layer there that hopefully will come through, you know, mm-hmm. like not just like a cash grab, because that's what you don't want is like a fucking hollow, soulless cash grab, which is mm-hmm. like just suckling at the teat of your nostalgia, which is what every fucking remake is. And as long as it doesn't go down that path of being like just pay to feel the one feeling you felt when you were a child, so you can have a taste of happiness for once in your goddamn life.
Wow.
Instead of that,
you okay, buddy?
We could. I just love the Ghostbusters so much.
Feel him out.
I would go one step further, and I just hope they don't try to turn this into something super, like a movie that takes itself super seriously. That's what I don't want.
You mean you don't want at the end to be like, we're starting the Ghostbuster initiative?
Oh yeah, and like turning it into like a real like a horror ghost series on Netflix. I don't want that at all.
I would like it to be horror-y. That would be really important to me.
I think it needs to be horror comedy, kind of like...
No, for sure, but like the scary part should be scary and the funny part should be funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And not like undertone jokes throughout all the serious parts.
Luciano, I have to check here. Are you saying horror or hoary?
Horror.
You know what he's saying.
No, I got
He loves the horror.
I have to be clear the listeners, sir.
No, he loves horrors.
You're a big horror fan,
right?
You're just prejudiced because I'm ESL. That's why.
Nope, you know more about the English language than anybody else in this podcast, and correct me on a daily basis. So I'm gonna make sure you're saying the right word.
Oh yeah, ESL stands for horror.
It has to be stupid, Luciano.
Yeah, burn.
That's just regular Luciano. Burn. That's just regular Luciano. No, I want it to be scary and funny at the same time.
Just like us on this podcast.
True.
Boom.
Segway. Netflix has decided that they need more money. And the best place to get it is gaming. They're going to start adding games, apparently primarily mobile gaming, whatever the fuck that means. But yeah, soon you're going to get games through your subscription to Netflix. What are you guys thinking about this?
They say that they're not going to they're not going to charge you for that like initially, but that's going to happen anyway. I mean, they want to compete. So furthermore, I don't know. They're going to have to do like If you're gonna talk it, be able to walk it. And furthermore, like it feels too early in the game. I don't really feel like it's good that we're talking about it. Like, what would that be like to be able to switch profile, like your profile? Okay, do you want to watch movies? Do you want to watch TV? Or would you like to play a video game today? I don't know.
Yeah, like, is it going to be intertwined?
Does your Netflix talk to you?
I need that.
Yours
version.
Doesn't. Yard doesn't.
Yeah, I think Chris is hearing voices.
Yeah. Tell me more. I wonder if it's going to be like you're browsing and then you see like, oh, look at this new comedy special. Look at this new Netflix original. Go play Raid Shadow Legends. Like, I'm not sure how that's going to play off. Like, it's going to be in the same thing. Is it going to be I have to switch to Netflix gaming now? I don't know. I don't like this idea. I don't know why. I can't put my finger on why exactly, but I don't like it.
I think I can put my. I think I have a theory.
Don't put your finger on my.
Put your whole fist in his idea.
Put your finger on it.
Okay, just let me lube it up. There's just some hollow lube going, and then let's just get it. Just close the fist.
May I be excused?
Make sure I pivot the hist.
Can I be excused, please? Anyways.
No, you are chained to the microphone.
Oh, again, this.
I think what's gonna result is analysis paralysis. More often than not, people have a hard enough time. Right.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be like a multiplier effect. People sometimes have a hard enough time just trying to figure out what they'd like to, you know, commit to, and like, I think I really want to watch this. I really want to see this. I myself, I don't always feel that way. I kind of have to work it up and figure out, okay, comedy, drama, documentary. I don't know. So, but then with like video games. Furthermore, if your living space only has one TV and there's like you're not alone and someone wants to game and someone wants to watch a movie, that's gonna start some shit.
Oh yeah.
get a Steam Deck, Chris.
Pretty much.
I'd be curious.
Wait, what's Steam?
Fuck you, Spencer. Oh, I swear to God. I swear to God. You know what Steam is.
Is it a solid? Is it a liquid? Is it a gas?
Chris is asking the right questions. Chris,
can we clap him off like we did last time?
No, but like, so Yes, we're going to. The interesting thing about Netflix will be how they do this, right? It doesn't seem like they're going the we're going to build our own games route. But the question is are you just going to be another service where I can access games? Because in terms of places that have had games I can access, like, you know, Amazon Prime, I can get free games through them if I'm paying for my account. You know, Epic.
Really?
Yeah. So if you have Amazon Prime, and you have Twitch. If you have Twitch installed, they offer like free games and promotions through other games. So you can get like extra cards and like FIFA games or Madden games, World of Warships. You can get different ships, and then there's also like mini games and smaller indie games that they have.
All right, settle down, Bezos.
Well, you asked me. I don't think you should pay for it. I don't, because the problem is you can get this fucking everywhere. Every single platform that offers you games offers you free games, and they all, like PlayStation Plus and the Xbox One they had before they rolled into their Ultimate Pass, it's all the same game everywhere. And so if all Netflix is going to do is offer me these same games in another platform, who are you honestly catching at this point that isn't into games already?
That I can tell you.
Is it you?
It's me.
But no, you are already. Right? You already play games. I think Matt's question is good. Like, whoever is already into games is already into games.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. I'm already into games on PlayStation, but what Netflix is going to do is let's be real. There's going to be a lot of kids that like use Netflix that don't have a system that are going to play. Like,
really?
I think it'll be like a like for young kids, I mean, it'll be like
a
gateway gaming device.
But those kids already play. They play games on their Android or their iPhone.
Yeah, device. Their phone. It'll be in the same vein, I think. Mm-hmm. It'll be like, oh, look, this fun game is a Plants vs. Zombies. I can play it like a mobile.
Yeah, but like
my 5-year-old
play it on a TV.
My 5-year-old. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you finish.
My 5-year-old nephew, he's frighteningly tech savvy. He controls whatever he wants to watch on Netflix, and he knows how to navigate into the kids' account. In and out of it. So if games were available, he's gonna damn well get himself into that environment to do and play whatever. Those are my genes, yo.
Hey, game up and cover. Chris, can we get your nephew to explain to Spencer what the fuck Steam is?
Wait, oh, he could do it. I have another question. What do you mean he's your genes? Like, what do you mean he's your genes? Like denim? You talking Levi?
Shut up!
Fuck.
Shut
me.
Up! Go away.
No. My
Levi,
I hate you for this. But I also, I think it's really easy to picture this idea and be like, this is a terrible idea.
Yes.
Right? You could be like, oh, it's these shitty mobile type games.
Because
just on
your
TV. That could be, but I'm gonna take a different route, and I'm gonna picture what it's like if they did it well. So I'm thinking if they like Netflix released a controller that you could get, and then they actually started making original IPs, and then you could download games off Netflix that were already paid for by your subscription right onto your.
Do you know how expensive that is? Like, Microsoft has been plowing billions of dollars into the Xbox franchise for decades, and they still haven't got a foothold that, like, makes them happy. Like, Google launched the Stadia, and that thing's a fucking shithole. And they had at least knowledge of what they're doing. Like, Netflix isn't going to go the Amazon route. Amazon's tried to build games, and so far, up until this new MMO, which name escapes me, all their games have been awful, and they've been, like, shut down. So it's really hard to get into the gaming space with original IP.
I can also see the Netflix doing something like releasing a new series tied to a new game.
I was just about to say that.
Oh God! And then you have to like play the game to understand the series, or watch the series to understand the game. I'm out. Ugh. I'm already out.
I hate that.
Yeah. Or like, what about like Bandersnatch style? Like, you know, remember Black Mirror Bandersnatch?
Yeah.
It was like a choose your own adventure type. They could like merge the two mediums in a sense, in some ways. But also, they could make games based on their already successful IPs. You know, like a Stranger Things game. You know, like they own properties that are successful. They could make a Witcher game of some kind because they have
what?
I think there's a company that already does that very successfully.
I've never heard of them. I don't know what you're talking about. Witcher's known for the TV series alone.
Great.
And I will fight you if you disagree.
We're gonna segue off of Spencer not knowing about Steam, Jeans, or companies that make video games, and segue
what,
into...
Blizzard?
We're segueing.
They make video games.
No, you can't stop the segue. Sorry.
Once you say segue, there's no going back.
There's no going back. We're segueing. If I could segue better, if you'd allow me, I wouldn't have to say segue. But here we are. we just use the word segue and off we turn, you know, 90 degrees off the highway.
Say so, one more time for us.
Segue.
You mean segue like the thing that you ride?
Yeah, just like the founder rode a segue off the cliff to his death.
No, shut up.
That's Spencer.
Spencer,
right
go
now.
Away.
You're falling into his trap. Into his clutches.
Oldest trick in the book.
So the San Diego Comic-Con online happened again in July. I really missed it, if I'm honest. But because we're doing this news roundup, I had to go back and look into it. Honestly, there's not a lot going on there. It seems, you know, Rick and Morty didn't talk about anything new. They just came out and had a panel, which I guess is something. There's a Bob's Burgers movie that's still in the works, which has been in the works for a while, so it's still not news. The only piece of news I could find, which I think was really interesting, is that Doctor Who, after their 13th seasonal run, Jodie Whittaker and the current showrunner, which Chris will help me with here in a second. Chris, who's the...
Chris Chibnall? Yeah.
They are both leaving after this season. So I'll have to ask this question. Who is going to be the next Doctor?
Well, I mean, that's anybody's guess, right? But at the same time, what if I guessed? Ooh, I know who it's going to be. It's going to be Idris fucking Elba.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man. Yeah. That would be fucking awesome, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If Doctor Who had money to pay an actor like that caliber, he's in a starring movie this week.
Guys
are so silly.
So? Anything is possible.
What do you mean so?
I think you're underselling Doctor Who.
Name one Doctor Who doctor that was in anything famous before he became the Doctor. And I'm talking about
Peter Capaldi.
What movie did Peter Capaldi star in?
World War Z.
He didn't star in it. He played Dr. WHO.
Exactly. He was Doctor Who before Doctor Who, therefore he was Doctor Who.
You're not going to surprise me.
Bitch!
He was a Who
Bitch.
Doctor.
And about, that is not what about David Tennant? Role. David Tennant was famous in the UK,
not even in the UK, about, like on television.
What about Christopher Ecclestone?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was...
He was always that guy, though. He was like, oh, remember that guy? That's who he was.
Yeah, like Idris Elba is like... starring in a motion picture release, and he's also been in a million movies.
So he had a TV series on Netflix, like, what is it, Good Luck Charlie? It didn't last too long. It was kind of good, but that doesn't mean he's not incapable of doing a TV series. And he was still, this was like, I think that show was like 2017, 2018. He was still a star then.
Yeah, but that's a passion project where it's like he's behind, like he's like the star.
I think you're
probably part owner.
You're belittling TV now for famous actors. Like famous actors are in TV all the time. Like if he was willing to, BBC would work to make it work for his schedule. He could show up like 2 months of the year and knock out like 12 episodes.
Listen, I'm not belittling TV. TV is in the golden age, and there are like shows that have A-listers like crazy. Doctor Who is not one of them.
I think you need to dream a little bit bigger, darling.
I think I would like to see a person of color play Doctor Who next. Maybe Daniel Kaluuya, the guy that plays on Get Out. Yeah, that would be good. Yeah,
that'd be cool too. Is he? He's not British. Do they always hire British people?
He's British. Yes.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, then that'd be interesting. I also think they generally get unknowns to play the Doctor.
It's actually like not. No, it's unknown to you, you ignorant bastard. Like the people.
I know shows, but I mean, like unknown.
They're well-known actors in England, at least if you don't consider them.
Scotland.
Yeah, they get like local. Scottish. They get UK actors that are known for television generally. Like she's from Broadchurch, right? The girl.
Yes.
Get an Irish guy. Get Michael Fassbender to play.
It doesn't look like he's doing much these days. That's Fassbender.
The tradition for Doctor Who actors is they announce them and then we all Google them to figure out who they are.
I knew.
I mean, I didn't.
Jody,
but
you should be ashamed of yourself.
This sounds like you just are very uncultured and are trying to push it on everybody else, sir.
Oh, you think you're better than me with your British? You think you're better? You're more cultured?
Yes. You think? Apparently, the proof is.
What happened?
You don't even know what Steam is. Whether it's the gaseous element or the video game platform.
and you're weighing in on which doctor should or should not take up the role. You're telling us you dug your own hole, Spencer. You dug your own hole.
Steam has been very confusing to me for a long time, and I'm just asking legitimate questions.
Spencer, I think we're gonna have to replace you with Chris's nephew. He seems more capable to have these conversations.
Or just a ball of steam, of actual steam.
You, with your guys' idea of casting, you probably think you could get Idris Elba to replace me.
Probably. Watch
it. Yeah. You know what? If you do that, good job. You know, I would step away for Idris.
Take it.
Yeah, but like I will be curious to see who they get, because I think going in the direction they did, by having Jodie Whittaker play the Doctor, I think was really interesting. I think she had a really good impact on the show. And a part of it is interesting that the showrunner is also leaving at the same time. Because, you know, historically, the guy's name is escaping me, the previous showrunner.
Stephen Moffat.
Yeah, Stephen Moffat went through a couple Doctors, right? And
yeah.
And so it'll be curious, because the showrunner on Doctor Who matters so much in terms of the story and the tone they present. It's not just the actor playing the Doctor. So it'll be very curious to see who gets to be the showrunner, because that, I think, will be the key to, are the stories good? Are they engaging? Are they interesting? Or is this all rubbish?
And they have to cast to match the tone, right? Like, if you're going like Matt Smith was perfect for that tone that they did with Matt Smith, which was like more light and comedic and less heavy. Like, obviously there's heavy parts, but he was like very silly. You know, and Capaldi was like, is very serious, and it matched the darker tones, it seemed. And I think that you have to find your showrunner before you find your actor.
Well,
unless you can get Idris Elba, then you just get him.
Who cares? But to your,
Idris could do it all.
He could.
Actor, rapper, DJ, kickboxer, showrunner, show doctor.
He could be the showrunner. Yeah.
Kickboxer.
It's funny because Spencer mentioned it, but you know, Stephen Moffat was the showrunner for both Matt Smith and Peter Capaldi, and I think he did I personally think he did a much better job with the Matt Smith run than he did with the Peter Capaldi run.
I didn't know he did the Capaldi run.
Yeah, and before that, Russell T. Davies did Ecclestone's 1 year, which it does. I mean, it was fine. I don't really count it. And then he did all of Tennant's run.
Oh yeah, that was. Who do you guys like more?
In terms of Doctor
Davies or Moffat?
Oh, I would say, personally, I'd say Moffat.
Really?
So much, like, you can't, like, so much rich story arcs that went through that time. I'm looking at it here, 2010 to 2017. Like, it's a lot of, and like, with two, three Doctors.
Yeah.
It's a lot of good stories.
I like the Rose story line, which is Davies.
That's right? Davies, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the Pond is the girl, right? From the Moffat.
From the
I
always get Pond and Rose kind of mixed up sometimes.
Wow. Just all women look the same to you, eh? Nice work.
I also get steamed the gas and steamed the computer downloading platform also confused.
Yeah, so it just might be a you thing.
It might be a brain thing.
Yeah.
Me brain. No good.
Yeah, just to finish off on this Doctor Who thing, I would say, you know, Tennant was a very excellent Doctor, but I think the combined storytelling with Matt Smith run for me is just it fits so perfectly that I enjoy it more overall. Not that there's anything wrong with the David Tennant stuff.
Yeah.
If we skip away from San Diego Comic-Con, because it sucked, a couple of other interesting things that came up in the month. There is a movie trailer release for Turning Red, and this is notable because, well, for us as Canadians, this movie clearly takes place in Toronto, which is just awesome to see. But also, it is the sort of writer and I believe foot director is Canadian, and she did the short Bow, which was seen.
Oh, did you?
What,
that's
what
why,
movie was okay. that before?
What do you mean? Oh. Bow? Yeah. Like, what
Incredibles
was it included
2?
In?
I think it was The Incredibles 2. It could have been in that. No, I think Spencer's right. It was released in front of Incredibles 2.
God, I'm good.
You're good, yeah. It's and so the other really interesting thing about this movie is it is a very Asian-forward movie. The main character, Mei Li, is Chinese. Her mother is Chinese. You see a number of other ethnic characters. And I'm saying that because I don't want to get the names wrong, so I apologize. But shown prominently in the trailer, and it carries the weight of those cultures, and it's very respectful. And not respectful, but it shows those cultures in just the light they are, a very real light. And I think it's going, you know, the movie looks really fun. Basically, the gist of the movie is this young girl, whenever she gets super embarrassed, she turns into a giant red panda. And her mom is obviously the sort of quote unquote stereotypical overbearing Asian mom, and so that leads to hijinks. It just looks like a really fun movie, and it'd be interesting to see how well this does in theaters, because it's coming out of Pixar, and it just looks fantastic. But you know, what are your thoughts?
That's a bold take off one trailer.
Well, Pixar rarely misses.
Yeah, that's true. Pixar is really good. Do you think they're trying to target the Chinese market at all?
I don't know if they're trying to target it, as opposed to just trying to tell good stories.
Yeah, I'm just curious, because I know a lot of like big budget movies are trying to target the Chinese market, because it's bigger than almost the American market now.
Yeah, I think the difference here is that when the Avengers try to target the Chinese market, they just put a doctor in it who's Asian. This is the main character is Asian. Her mom is Asian. The storyline centers around her being Asian. It's very Asian influenced. And I don't think it's just a throwaway.
No, no. It's definitely based on the story as well. It's interesting that it would be set in Toronto. Is it like overtly set in Toronto?
Yes. The director, Domi Shi, I hope I got that right, is Canadian. Mm. And even in Bao, you could see influences of it being Canadian on that. But in this movie,
I like that.
You see a shot of the CN Tower. I think May is wearing a toque that has Canadian maple leaves on it. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's tied to Canada, but it looks like it's not overtly like, you know, like Scott Pilgrim was just like, hey, motherfuckers, I'm in Toronto. Yeah. This is more like, hey, this is in Canada, but also it could be anywhere. With a lot of different things.
So I like that. I think that my natural cynicism for Hollywood might have taken over there. It sounds like they're trying to do a story about Asian culture because that's what the story was intended to be, and it wasn't a money grab, cash grab like so many other things are made. So I'd like to apologize to all our fans out there
for that
instant negative assumption.
I also like that they picked Sandra Oh to play the mother, who's also Canadian.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Who's also voice acting in... Come on, Chris. She's awesome.
Invincible!
Invincible, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, she's Invincible.
She was great in that.
Yeah.
Weird segue, but okay.
Yeah, this movie seems like it's going to be a delight, I think. It sounds just like chef's kiss.
I'm hoping for it. The colors are so rich. Like, thanks.
Yeah.
Like, Pixar, vibrant. Yeah. I'm loving it.
Are you guys up to date on the Pixar movies?
Not
what
really.
Do you mean?
I love Pixar movies, but I haven't seen a bunch of the more recent ones.
Yeah, so like Soul and Luca are some of the newer ones. I haven't seen Soul.
Those. Oh, yeah.
Soul was a 7. It would.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Yeah,
No.
For our fans out there,
yeah.
Matt notoriously says 7 is a coward's number. So he is just proclaimed himself as a coward. Go ahead, Matt, continue.
No, it's a coward's movie. It's not the original coward's movie.
It's a coward's movie?
It's not the original coward's movie. That's The Force Awakens.
Yes.
But it has elements of being really interesting. It a little bit trades on sort of some racist tropes, not like big, but just a little bit, and the story just feels like it the idea behind the story and some of the elements they add in are fun, especially sort of the afterlife and how it's depicted, but the story is, it just winds up in a, it's just like I felt unsatisfied with how the story finished.
Was the music really cool?
Yeah,
personally, I would say.
And the weirdest thing about that is that fucking Trent Reznor and How to Kiss Ross did the music.
That's that's literally the only reason I really want to see it, because I'm a huge fan of Trent Reznor and Nine Inch Nails.
It's fine. It's just, like I said, it's a 7 out of 10. It's good. It's just not great.
Wow, cowardly coward thing. Just coward things.
I'm gonna jump in now. Did anybody else see Luca?
No.
No.
I want to. But
I saw it. It was. It was adorable. It really, really
was. I feel like Chris has a big heart, and he falls for the any kind of like nice messaging in a movie. Am I wrong, Chris?
I don't think you're wrong. I was, but it was genuinely adorable.
Hey, like I feel like you, like, anytime there's a sweet scene, you're like the guy who's like in a theater and goes, "Oh, that's nice,
Spencer."
And I do it on the inside though, and I eat popcorn, and then I hug my wife.
I really gotta know, Spencer, why'd you say he falls for that? Like he's some sort of like broken monster for liking nice things and happiness.
Did I mention that I'm a cynical fool yet? I'm a cynic when it comes to large corporate entities creating art. And I think that a lot of the niceness can be genuine, but it can also be fabricated.
Now I know why you love Zack Snyder's movies, because that's how you feel
on
the inside.
I was going to say, he shows on the outside how you feel on the inside, basically. That's why you like Man of Steel. There you go.
Yes. Yeah, because that's the real world, boys. It's not pretty. No, I like sweet movies too. I just, you know, like sometimes I take it as a little bit too, like, cringe. I don't want to say cringe because everyone says cringe these days, but it's like sometimes it makes me cringe when it's too on the nose.
Just get some fucking whimsy in your life, bro.
I think it's different from some of the quote unquote heartwarming movies that maybe a lot of us grew up on, where it was like really ham fisted and then you would hear the music swell at the right moments. Nah, I think with, I guess you could say, this newer age of storytelling, that whether it's coming from Pixar or whoever, the structures of the stories that they're building, I think they're more rooted in human experience. I think people working on these movies are pushing for something a little bit richer. So that's why, like, when you think about the day of, oh my gosh,
Coco.
I can't think of the other. Thank you. Movies like that. Oh, again,
that,
like,
was good.
Sure.
I love that.
Thank you for reading my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so incredible. Like, sure. It's embedded in that culture, but it doesn't matter because it's still a family story, and it almost could have happened anywhere, but like it's so beautiful because they managed to capture that snapshot and then build characters within that space. So, like,
yeah,
we didn't have movies like that when we were younger. Like, we were kids seeing stuff from a certain perspective, and that's all we had. But I think things have been elevated since then.
Like, yeah, I find Pixar's good at that, at coming off as genuine and like actually having heart and dare I say soul. But I'm more talking about like movies like, you know, like Despicable Me, where it's like, you know, like it's like all stupid jokes, minion fart jokes, and then at the end it's like Steve Carell and his terrible accent is like, "We're family now, see? It's all about family." And then it's like,
I get you,
like, tacked on emotional bullshit.
I think it's you're targeting like an age range conversation, right? I think Despicable Me is a little bit younger than Coco or maybe Chris can fill in Luca, but because Coco has some mature themes, whereas Despicable Me is just like, he's an idiot bumbling evil guy who has a bunch of minions who say buzzwords and catchy things. And I think it's just, when it's targeted at a young age, the complexity is, they can't have it, so you can't like feel the nuance. Whereas like something like Inside is definitely one where it's just like, it's a cute, heartwarming story, but there are layers on it that
Inside Out?
Inside Out. Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was Inside or Inside Out, and I just stopped.
It's Inside Out, yeah.
I forgot that too.
I haven't actually seen that.
Love that movie.
Highly recommend
it. It's so good. Yes. Yeah. That's easily a 9 out of 10, that movie.
We should do an episode about all the Pixars, ranking them.
I'm open to that.
Something to think about.
Segway.
But bringing it back, just before you segue, Matt, bringing it back to this.
You already said segue.
To turning
There's
red.
There's no going back.
Shut up.
I think
this is going to end up being the same thing that Chris was talking about, where it's more, it's not like a manipulative, oh, cutesy thing. It's going to be more of a heartwarming thing that's funny. So, at least from the trailer, that's how it feels like. Now you can segue.
Yeah, that was important.
The last thing I want to talk about here is just a shout out, RIP, Richard Donner passed away in the month of July. And I just want to bring it up because for us, Richard Donner is one of the seminal directors for movies for growing up. Maybe not Spencer since he's a tiny baby. But Richard Donner, Richard Donner, or as I found out reading this article, Richard Donald Schwarzenberg, was the director of such things as Superman, like the original Christopher Reeve's Superman.
Brando.
Yeah, Superman.
He directed The Goonies, which is one of those all-time classics for many of us.
Oh, man. One of my favorite movies of all time.
And Spencer, don't worry, we're not going to leave you out.
Don't dare rewatch.
He directed Scrooged, the Bill Murray movie from 1988, which I know you love dearly. But also, I don't know if you heard
I love that movie.
I don't know if you heard of the Lethal Weapon franchise.
Lethal Weapon, starring
is Scarlett Johansson in that one?
I think she might have been. I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, he directed all
Donnie Glaver and Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
He did all of the Lethal Weapon franchise. So he was, just in so many things. So it's sad to see him pass away. But thanks for all the wicked movies, bro.
Yeah,
I didn't know he did all those movies. I knew, course, I knew he did. He did Superman. Like that's like everybody knows that. But I didn't know he did all the Lethal Weapons. I don't know how I missed that.
Thanks for paying attention to his life's work.
You know, there's only so much I could do in this life of mine. I was only born in 1999.
What?
So I'm pretty young.
Oh wow, he directed Maverick as well with Mel Gibson as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Jodie Foster
and Assassins. Yeah.
Lady Hawk. I didn't know he did Lady Hawk. Oh my god.
Right. So, Spencer, just to help you out, he was an executive producer for X-Men and X-Men's Origin Wolverine. So he got around.
So now you're speaking my language.
Yeah.
We're talking Wolverine Origins?
Yeah.
We're talking Wolverine Origins?
Yeah.
Is that the one where they sewed Deadpool's mouth shut?
Yeah.
Movie was fucking dope.
What? Dope, boys.
What? Sorry, I'm just going into my bro.
Yo, boy, that movie was so dope.
Right, guys?
Yeah. Sure. Right. Segway. That's all the time we have for today.
I wish you guys could have seen Chris's face just now. It was perfect.
Yeah.
Well, we can't because we've segued into the ending of the show.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Doo-doo-doo. Thank you for listening to this. Hopefully you enjoyed it. If you didn't enjoy the fact that Spencer doesn't understand the basic elements of life.
I mean, nobody answered me. I asked the question like 100 times.
Well, okay, that's great that you bring this up. If you'd like to answer Spencer's questions, please feel free to hit us up on the Twitter.
What is Steve?
That's the question he has. Twitter, you can find us at Your Wrongcast. Also, you can check out our website at www.yourwrongcast.ca. You can also email us.
Mr. W, bud.
Yeah, well, whatever. People know how the internet works. They'll figure it out.
All right.
Three W's is what you're looking for.
Yes.
I don't know if you've used the internet. Anyways, hit us up there. Also, we have an email address. It's also yourwrongcast@gmail.com. Spencer really needs to know what Steam is. He's actually left the podcast.
Why would anybody
completely
answer me?
That's a ghost. That he's gone. He just needed an answer real bad.
He turned into Steam.
Yeah, he's evaporated. But yeah, thank you for having us. I'm Matt.
I'm Luciano.
I'm a ghost.
And I'm Paul Rudd.
We'll see you next time.